coming to you from the Radio for One studios in Franklin, Michigan. Welcome to the Detroit Cast.
Big fan.
Big fan.
A show not just free of charge, but free of FCC regulations.
Thank you for your support of the Detroit Cast.
Oh, there it is.
And without further delay, it's showtime. Please welcome the Detroit Cast. Here are your hosts, Mike and Jay.
Well, good day, everybody. Welcome to the Detroit Cast, Mike and Jay. Shalom, Big E. Jay, how are you, my friend?
Perfect. Glad to be with you.
That's a lie.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing all right.
Good.
Been on bear sitting duty all day.
The little bear.
Yep. Took him for a walk.
She's growing up.
Oh, my God. She's almost able to climb a stair now.
Oh.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
How quickly.
I know.
How old?
5 weeks.
And what, 2 weeks ago, it was just this little thing suckling on our fingers, right?
Yeah, exactly. No teeth, nothing. I'm taking her for walks now, like around the cement in the backyard.
Yeah.
And so I put a little collar on her, I walk around, and we get one lap around the pool, one lap, and she's like, whoo, whoo.
Well, that's perfect. You guys matched up perfectly then.
It's awesome. I've just never seen that before. And then, did I tell you guys this?
You
I
guys
might
are
have.
Both, you're doubled over.
Both of you.
Yeah. Oh,
God.
Whoo!
Oh, God.
Whoo! We need water.
Bear, what do you think we had?
Oh, Bear.
What do you think, Bear?
We need to get inside and get water. We're arm in arm crawling back into the house. I put her on the, like, the first time I did this, I took a step up onto the deck, you know, the painted deck.
Yep.
And
she didn't make it.
And she was like, no, I want to go up there with you. Let's see what this is all about. And so she's like, front paws, bang, bang. And then she's trying to get her back legs. Yeah. And I realized, okay, she just doesn't have enough depth in body to get up a step.
Right.
And so I had to pick her up and I put her on the deck and she's like, she's standing there and she starts walking and then all of a sudden she's lifting her hands higher and then she starts crying and I realize, oh God, it's 83.
Hot. Oh shit.
It's 83 degrees out here and that deck is fucking hot as balls. Oh. So I had to pick the thing up and she's just like, oh God, why did you burn me?
She's a cute.
Yeah. She's a learning. I posted a picture of her yesterday on Facebook last night after you guys left. And
the book loves puppies.
Oh, the book loves the bear. Now we just have to find one of those members out there that wants to take the bear.
Yeah, somebody took Wisp off your hands pretty quick.
And Wisp is killing it.
Oh, yeah.
Wisp sent me a nice
He's
note.
He's on Twitter. He's doing well.
Yeah. Wishing me happy Father's Day. And I appreciated that. Wee Wisp, he's doing awesome. And Bear is going to do awesome, too, at some point. Probably still a little too young to go to a home, but look forward to it. Anyway, how's the rest of the day going, gentlemen?
Very well.
He's doing all right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Perfect.
I like that sweatshirt. Damn, dude, perfect.
It's a destination sweatshirt.
Yeah, I thought you
usually,
hated those,
I'm not usually into these, but somebody, I guess gave this one to you and you didn't want it or something. So
That was it. I didn't want it.
It's a nice sweatshirt.
That is a gorgeous sweatshirt. Little snug. A little snug.
No, not really. It seems to be perfect.
Yeah, looks good.
Mm. Thank you.
Anyway, when we left yesterday, we hadn't watched Megyn Kelly doing her thing, her Alex Jones interview.
Right.
You probably still haven't seen any of it.
Not, unfortunately.
Yeah, I watched it, and I've come to the conclusion, dude, that she's just not that good as an interviewer.
She's a lightweight.
She's a lightweight. She is. I hate to say that. And maybe, like, I'm thinking about it, and it's like, if this were Barbara Walters or Diane Sawyer or
the greats,
the ones that pull this shit off well, that can get into it with someone, there's just such a difference between those people and Megyn Kelly. And I'm just shocked by that. I'm shocked that there would be such an investment in her.
Can we put Oprah up there, Mike?
Of course. Yeah, you can put Oprah up there. You can put, you know, a lot of guys up there. There are plenty of guys. And there are some guys in the wings that I think will do really well with that at some point, if given a shot. I think Tucker Carlson is one of them that doesn't give a fuck, doesn't give a shit what race you are, what sex you are. He is going to go for it and not play that game where you're uber offended at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you kind of need that attitude, like, nah, you're not going to, you know, spin me into a box and make me feel bad about this. Here's the facts. Let's go with it. And I just don't see Megyn Kelly as that kind of interviewer. You know what I mean?
So it was light, huh? Little softball.
I thought so. And
so
I
we
thought,
heard about her Putin interview too. Like the final part that was unaired.
Yes,
came out that she was like, "Oh, so how are you doing? How are things?"
And the other thing was, with both of those, there really wasn't any news to them. There wasn't really a point to them. It wasn't like you got something out of them. Like, the greats are really good at drawing something out that's like, that ends up being newsworthy in its own right.
Yeah.
And both of those interviews, it's like you got Vladimir Putin and Alex Jones, and, you know, I don't know, I just didn't see anything there. To be honest too, I thought Alex Jones looked on the fence. He looked like an easy takedown. Like, he was hemming and hawing a lot. He was sweating. His big fat face was in the camera, and he's trying to explain, like, well, yeah, you know, yeah, well, that's not what I'm saying, you know, I mean. And I'm like, dude, hammer this dude. Like, go. What are you doing? And it just didn't really have that feel. Some people thought she did great. I didn't personally see that. But when he's going, well, yeah, you know, and she's trying to hold him to task for the Sandy Hook story, you know, and she's like asking him pointed questions. He's like, well, you know, I mean, I wasn't the first to report that story, you know, and she's like, yeah, you were, you know, that was
the notion that it was a hoax, that it was a government setup to try to drum up anti-gun support.
And then he's trying to say, like, well, you know, I mean, I'm just willing to look at something from all sides, you know, that's my thing, you know, look at it, for, you know, and, you know, I could see why people think those kids did die. But then when you look at it from the other side, and she's like, what other side? And he's like, you could see why these people feel this way. And I wasn't the first. I mean, there were other reporters and listeners that were researching this. And I'm like, did you just say there were listeners that were researching this story? And that's what you're basing your facts on? It just seemed odd. An odd thing to say, but they both looked out of place, to be honest. And here's the thing that scares me most, though, Jay.
She's not going to get to Lindell.
Damn it! This is Mike Lindell. Can you hear me?
But, dude, she's so lightweight. Is she going to even draw, I don't know, like a fact about ducks keeping him warm?
Ugh. The duck's warmth actually saved my life because I passed out in the snow.
There's no way she digs that out.
Dude, if she doesn't dive into Mike Lindell, can we send her our interview with Mike Lindell? Like, here's just like a baseline.
Take some notes, a few bullet points.
Yeah.
For it just sounds too exaggerated to the common person out there.
You're going to want to ask him about his Mexican drug cartel friends.
I'm looking for some drugs here. I could care less what you guys have going on between you two.
Let's just say, Megan, it involves a sword and...
My wife's really going to be upset about this.
You know, you're going to want to ask him about, you know, duck hunting in Lake Minnetonka or whatever.
The warmth actually saved my life because I passed out in the snow.
Passed out.
You're going to want to hit him about the time he lit the town on fire. And
he said, God, if you get me home, I'm never going to ride a motorcycle or jump out of a perfectly good airplane again, and I never have.
Megan, make sure you ask him about getting 17 tickets in 2 days from the police. Make sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Instead, it's like, oh, tell us about the pillow factory. Yeah. Oh, tell us about
The fill is patented.
Yes, the patented fill in the blue shirt and the cross.
Yeah.
Well, here's the problem, man. Like I said, we've got it. What we need to do, we really need to find out when that is scheduled to air, because that could be make or break for us. We need Lindell on that show.
What does she have, like 2-3 weeks left, you think?
I don't know, man. They've invested a lot in her, so they might be in for more of a long haul, but... yeah, they've got to be thinking at least like behind closed doors, like, if you had to do this again, would you sign this deal? And they would go, no.
Yeah.
I don't think we would.
I used to be a professional card counter.
So anyway, the new numbers are in on her show with her sit down with Jones, with Alex Jones. It brought in an average of 3.5 million viewers Sunday night. That's the fewest viewers she's gotten in three weeks since she started this thing.
She went Putin. She went Aaron...
Yeah. The chick.
Aaron Andrews.
And then she goes Alex Jones.
Alex Jones. Yeah. The show trailed a rerun episode of 60 Minutes again, and it got slaughtered by a rerun of America's Funniest Home.
God damn it.
Dude.
With Carlton hosting.
Yeah. Dude, America's Funniest Home Videos beat it by 40%. A rerun of that. And it was top of the discussion all week about Sandy Hook, Alex Jones, you know, should this even air? Sponsorships are pulling out. She's off the board or whatever of the Sandy Hook Promise charity. Like, dude, that was everywhere. You can't buy promotion like that.
And it only spoke to just a sliver.
Ooh. They say she got mostly positive reviews, although some of these experts in this sort of thing went, yeah, she didn't do anything with him that was like newsworthy. The only thing you did was, sure, you kind of made Alex Jones look like a total kook, which isn't terribly hard to do, but fuck it. He doesn't care for his brand. It's he wins. He wins by his brand getting out there like that. So it boosts his profile, as they say.
Hey, Wasik Insurance Services. They are the choice for all types of insurances, auto, home, life, business, commercial, and more. Owner Brent Wasik has 29 years in the business. Call him today for a free no-obligation quote at 734-455-1900. Brent will personally assist you, not some random employee sales guy. He can review your current policies free of charge and give you recommendations. Brent's an awesome guy, easy to work with, and loves the Detroit cast like you. So call him, 734-455-1900.
Are you sure it didn't happen already?
What?
Mike Lindell? Dude.
This is somebody else. Maybe this is MS.
Yes, we're sure.
Yeah, it's only been on 3 weeks. We would have known if the Lindell interview aired.
God.
Okay, well, I mean, you kidding something us? Says here, Sunday, June 11th, 7 p.m., Sunday night with Megyn Kelly on NBC.
June 11th? What?
My Pillow founder, Mike Lindell, went to near break, he reads the story. Then he says he sits down with NBC News, John, I can't pronounce this guy's name, to talk about his past, the company, and how he got to post. Sunday, June 11th, 7 p.m. Maybe I'm wrong.
John Menkowitz?
No, but it says at the end, Sunday night with Megyn Kelly on NBC.
Was this like some little tight expose thing that they just tossed in at the end of one or something?
On her first episode with Vladimir Putin, I remember it, and she said,
"Oh, I don't doubt you, Mike. Your ears perk up, Mike Lindell."
I saw him standing there in his factory with a pillow in his hand and a shit-eating grin on his face. And I was like, "Ah, look at that son of a bitch! I know him."
Maybe we go right back to Mike and just ask him.
Yeah, we should. Well, she said it was like a coming up this summer on Sunday night with Megyn Kelly, and it was just kind of like a quick 30-second promo of upcoming interviews for her show that are going to be going this summer.
Yeah.
And one of the first ones was Mike Lindell. And it was like, okay, well, I've watched her episodes. I would have seen. I mean, maybe that means they filmed it June 11th. Is it possible that they did a one-minute thing with him and I just missed it?
I reckon.
I hope not. I guess, but
can't tell his story in a minute.
Shit. That's insulting.
You barely tell his story in 45 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, we barely could.
The Ducks warp actually saved my life because I passed out in the snow.
Passed out in the snow. My wife's really going to get upset about this. You know, when you watch those, here's the thing I'm picking up with Megyn Kelly too, lastly on her. Like when you watch those big 60 Minutes type shows or Dateline or 2020, and I don't, you probably haven't watched a ton of these. I have. And when you have those big interviews, whether it's Oprah or, you know, some of the other ones that do these nightly, like big expose interviews, they have a different feel to them. There's a power to them. And you just go, you know, you're watching something big league. You're watching big league performers on a big stage. 60 minutes.
With Megyn.
Well,
isn't that partly production, though?
Maybe. But
music
it just,
and graphics and shots and cutaways, and
it just has a feeling of like, why are we doing this? Like 60 minutes you watch and you feel informed, you feel like you learned something, like, wow, I didn't know that's an important story to tell, whether it's about addiction or about the war or people in Syria, what life's like you watch those stories and you get that sense like this story needed to be told. And you watch Megyn Kelly, it's like, what, it's like somewhere between Extra Access Hollywood and 60 Minutes. And you're like, it's kind of got this weird glossed over feeling of like not much oomph to it. Like you're getting something. Like I needed to see that.
Kind of light.
Yeah, it's just soft. It's light. You know, and they're surrounding her. They had Tom Brokaw come in at the end of it, probably to be like Tom Brokaw, the big voice of
some credibility
of NBC, to come in at the end and give an all important speech to all of us about rhetoric and why things like this are important.
Did he really?
Yeah. And it's like, dude, really, you know, and they're trying really hard. They've got Keith Morrison on there. I mean, Keith Morrison from Dateline is bigly. They've got him.
Looks
doing
like a dead guy.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. But they've got some heavy hitters in there trying to like do, you know, Megyn does this interview and then Keith comes in and, you know, does his story about how great New Zealand is and, you know, people are moving to New Zealand because it's awesome or something.
I've heard it is beautiful this time of year.
I hear it's beautiful all time of year. But they're getting kind of pissy because they're, housing market is kind of exploding and locals are blaming Americans and foreigners. I'm like, yeah, see how that feels?
Word got out, huh?
Yeah, word's getting out that it's a paradise here and people are really cool. And it's so funny hearing these Americans that are talking about being there like, oh, yeah, it's great. It's like America was back in the day when the American dream was still real, and 50 years ago when people just worked hard and did their thing and made it and made something of themselves, something you really can't do in America anymore.
Oh,
everyone's bitching at each other and fighting and doesn't want to do the hard work kind of thing. And so you come here and you can still do that and live the New Zealand dream. And kind of funny, man. But the other thing... we didn't get to yesterday. Speaking of people that can do interviews, Bill O'Reilly, he's been doing his podcast for a while now.
Yeah, how's that going?
I don't know. I know he was doing a pay thing at first, which is not a good move in the world of podcasting, in my opinion. Like you're just not going to draw in new listeners if you force them to pay for your content, you know? And so he was doing that, but then I saw shortly thereafter he was doing like free weeks. Like a lot of people will do that. So I don't know how that's going. But he claims he had his first public appearance.
Sit down with Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller. Yeah. You know,
Billy.
Dennis. Dude, do you find Dennis Miller irritating nowadays?
I do. As soon as he hooked up with O'Reilly, honestly.
Yeah.
It just got kind of goofy.
See, mine was Monday Night Football. But then seeing him with O'Reilly, it was like going so hard for the joke kind of thing. Yeah, babe. You know, and it's just like, ugh, enough. These corny fucking, like, supposed to go over your head jokes because he's so
Macedonian,
smart.
blah, blah, blah.
Wow, one of the Macedonians, thank Billy. Like, ugh. So, yeah, he was doing this, what does he call it? The no spin tour or
Absolutely, of course.
Yeah. Well, he was out there, and so it's first time out publicly since he was shit canned, and he was at a theater, New York, NYCB.
Just
theater.
Talking to the regular folks.
Sure. And during a, they did a Q&A. And he was saying that he could be back on TV in a few short months here. There could be a new network. A bunch of people are looking to compete with Fox because there's a perception of decline. You've been calling for this, Jay.
Yeah.
Someone to take them on. I'm starting my own operation. We're going to do that. We will go into a studio, and it will look like The Factor. It's basically an experiment to see how many people are going to want this service. That's coming. We'll be here before September. In a robust form, I suspect there will be another network maybe merging with us. There will be a network that rises up because the numbers for Fox are going down. It's a different network. It happens. They had a shift in management that coincided with a very well thought out and financed effort to destroy me. It worked. It all had to do with President Trump's. In the weeks to come, I'm going to lay all that out in a very public way. I know the same people who came after me are the same people after him. This is the fraud being perpetuated on you, the American voter. Progressive far left will not accept the election. It's the media driving the hate. I would agree with a lot of that statement.
Contrary to what's going on with Trump, though, there's a lot more facts, I think, backing up what was alleged in regard to the O'Reilly situation.
Yeah. Well, he made it easy to go after him. You know, like if you've got those skeletons in the closet there and people want to take you down, it's much easier to do. Hannity, different story. They've been trying to go after Hannity. That's not a made-up thing that there's concerted efforts and funding going into tearing these people down. And it's a whole thing about, you know, when you're talking about listing someone's an entire thing of sponsors and posting it online with instructions,
right.
That's a concerted effort to like, okay, now do your part. You need to call all these businesses and tell them you refuse to buy their products if they still advertise, blah, blah, blah. And so that's what they're talking about. But Hannity, you don't have the power behind it. You know, they tried to make it work with...
Because he's been a good boy.
Yep. He just keeps his dick in his pants or in his wife's hand, and that's it.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Good for him. But yeah, they tried with Debbie Schlussel. Ooh. They tried to make that story
sure
work.
Did. Tried to bend it and twist it and pull it in.
He's getting a little too kooky for me, though.
I don't watch Hannity.
Yeah. I can't really watch him. Like, I tried.
It's just repetitive. I mean, he's just...
Yeah.
Yeah, he just pounds the one side.
Yeah.
Over and over and over.
Yeah.
Now, if you watch him like 2 or 3 nights in a row, if you have it on, you'll see these same production pieces come up.
Yeah.
Where he just reiterates.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, the left did this. Boom, boom, boom.
What does he call him? What was he? And it was just so irritating. The all hate liberal left attack the president media. Like he's got some catchphrase that he... That he says every fucking night, literally to open his show.
He's unwatchable.
Yeah. They're all getting pretty unwatchable, but
Both sides, man.
Yeah, yeah. Someone's going to rise up out of that, though, and just be like a good source for news, you would hope, right? Do people want that? Do people give a shit what the truth is anymore? Or, I mean, because I would think there's a prime.
I personally would love that, but I feel like everybody's just kind of chosen a side and they listen to that side.
Yeah, maybe. I would
the
just,
other side drives you crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of hate. There's a lot of hate. But I would hope that someone could drive right up through the middle of that and just go, look, we're just going to bring you the news. Wherever it falls, it falls. And just find some middle-of-the-road good journalists who are willing to give you the
stick
truth.
By it, if they can stick by it and not be pulled in one direction. But yeah, there's been people who have tried that, and it's like, no, you know, you look one layer below. Oh, I see what your agenda is.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely something there on the right to be filled. There's a lot of programs on the left. There's more of an opportunity on the right.
Fox has just dominated that side.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they'll do something. They've got to make more changes. Their lineup is not going to hold, in my opinion. But we'll see. Carrie Fisher. I don't know if you saw the autopsies were starting to come out.
Sleep apnea?
That's what they said on Friday. Sleep apnea and other things.
Yeah.
They said they had some weird wording for it.
Does that
you
mean
know?
She was drunk as shit, she vomited, and because of her sleep apnea, she wasn't able to
get the vomit
out of her throat?
Well, vomiting, I think, was involved. Maybe on that plane. Remember she was on a plane when she had the heart attack, flying back to LA? It was right around Christmas. But the coroner's report was released this morning, just this morning, a new one out of Los Angeles, revealed a cocktail of drugs in her system, unfortunately. This is Carrie Fisher we're talking about. I don't know if I said that in the beginning.
Princess Leia.
Princess Leia, right. So they found coke in her system.
Still, God.
Yeah, methadone, ecstasy, alcohol, opiates, which just could be the heroin. The results suggested there was an exposure to heroin regarding the cause of death. The test revealed that the coke would have been consumed within the previous 72 hours. Other conditions included, you know, when they were talking about other factors, sleep apnea and other factors, they meant heart disease and drug use. That's a rough cocktail to have.
Yeah, after heroin, years and years and years of doing it, allegedly. Yeah.
Heroin, ecstasy. Ecstasy seems like a weird drug for a 67-year-old woman to be taking.
She's compromised already, you know. What was it? She had the massive heart attack thing, and then it was a week later or something at home, or am I imagining that? Was it right after?
I thought she went into the hospital and then died 4 days later.
Okay, maybe.
Like, we started hearing reports that she was stable, and it was like, oh, Carrie Fisher's going to be okay. And
I thought there was a lag, but I must be imagining that.
Maybe. Well, remember, her mom died, too. Like
the day after.
Yeah, something
like that.
Of
a broken heart, Mike.
Yeah. And that was another one where she went in, and then it was just like, oh,
Debbie
Reynolds.
She died.
Yeah. Her daughter, Billie Lord, issued a statement. You know, my mom battled drug addiction and mental illness her entire life. She ultimately died of it. She was purposefully open in all of her work about the social stigma surrounding these diseases. Todd Fisher, her brother, issued a similar statement. You know, her battle with drugs and bipolar disorder slowly but surely put her health in jeopardy over many, many years. I honestly hoped we would grow old together, but after her death, nobody was shocked.
The good news is Star Wars Episode 8 was fully filmed and wrapped by the time of the death, so in the can.
That's
good. Shouldn't affect this next story that comes out December 15th, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Are you excited for that one?
Of course.
Do we know yet? Were they planning to like not have her be in a more prominent role?
I've read different things. And
have
I,
you?
You know, because of the death, you wonder if this is exaggeration. But I've heard that, oh, she was supposed to take on a big role in the next one.
Yeah.
You know, it's too bad. It's too bad she's gone because now they have to change the whole tenor of that. But I don't know if that's true.
Yeah. I don't know. Does she
I never found Princess Leia that compelling anyway. So hopefully, you know.
Princess Leia was compelling in the slave bikini, period. Like, that's Princess Leia was at her greatest moment with Jabba the Hutt.
I don't think anyone would disagree with
that. I mean, other than that, what are her moments? Like, we did that.
Disney is doing this whole female empowerment thing.
Well, yeah.
Obviously, through the Star Wars movies, you saw Rogue One, you saw Episode 7 focused on female heroines.
Well, female heroines, the gay. And the black
the guys are important.
Are going to have
lots
a much,
of diversity in these.
Yes, very, very much so. What were we going to say about Leia, though? Was there anything like
No, they finished her up.
No, I know, but I mean, like, in her role, it really bothered both of us, I think, when we read that the listing of the...
And she's, like, top three character
in Star Wars history. It was like, wait a minute.
Arguably necessary character, I suppose, but yeah. Yeah, no, she just, I don't know.
She was standing next to Vader when the planet blew up, right? When he ordered the planet to blow up or something.
I mean, she hid the plans in R2 that got the whole thing rolling.
Yeah, and then she
was... We don't really see that. Well, right?
You do in Rogue One.
Help me, Obi-Wan. That was a big thing when she was the little hologram, right?
It gave them a reason to go into the Death Star to rescue her.
Yeah,
and, she played a role, but
and then she made out with her brother and was putting out for Solo.
Yep,
right.
That's it.
And then we got to see her in the bikini with Jabba.
Now, I was reading something about the next one, and I guess the guy who wrote the next one had a series of meetings with Carrie Fisher prior to as he was developing the story.
Yeah.
And he talked about, like, meeting her in her bedroom. She just had this weird existence where she just
operated
out of her bedroom.
Yeah.
And she'd have parties, and she'd sit in her bedroom, and people would come in and out of her bed. Not, like, in a sexual way, but
right.
just hanging in her bedroom.
Weirdo, dude. Yeah. I don't know if you saw I think it was HBO did that, like... The documentary they did, they were filming or wrapping a huge documentary about her and her mom.
Oh, I didn't know that.
When she died, when they both died. And so that got tons of press. And I finally watched that like a month ago. And it's fucking
bizarre.
Weird. Dude, it's just weird. Like,
and they lived together, didn't they?
No.
No.
Which would be fine. Whatever. They lived together.
I thought they
It was even more bizarre, Jay. They lived right next door to each other. And so their backyard, like, gardens, and they've got these big properties, you know, in the Hollywood Hills or wherever. And they've just got, like, this brick whatever going between them. And so they just, like, well, time to go see Mother. And it's like, here's Carrie Fisher going over with her cigarette and her coffee. And then Mom, you know, they're just constantly worried about each other and in each other's lives. And the mom is fucking dancing and singing. And so is Carrie. There's just this weird, like, weirdo existence of these two women, like,
whacked
out
Hollywood
women, like,
washed up Hollywood people.
Yes. And still, like showing off costumes and shit. And the mom's flying here. I'm going to be in this play in New York. Yeah, see? And it's like, ugh. Imagine, like, being in that world and but yeah, like, her friend shows up and Carrie's like laying on her bed, that bed probably that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And he's like laying in the bed too. And I don't know if he's gay or if he's not gay. And he's like, oh, fuck you, Carrie. And
no, I think she just took visitors in her bedroom.
Yeah. Like, they're laying on the bed doing this interview together and talking about, like, growing up together. And he's really like, oh, motherfucker, please. It's just like this weird conversation they're having. It was just uncomfortable and awkward. And then, you know, she's bringing cigarettes and food over to Mom. And you're just like, oh, what am I watching? It's just
I
don't
want to watch
odd.
It now, though, having said that.
Yeah, it's kind of boring, but kind of interesting peek into, like, the existence of some people. It's a money thing. Like when you get enough money where you don't really have to do anything.
Yeah.
And you can just kind of exist and, like, be weird.
Yeah, it's
people do.
You're not in the real world. You're just in this little weird existence.
Hey. But she's always kind of bitching too about how sign with Star Wars. She's on the treadmill and she's bitching about how
have to lose some weight,
making me lose weight. Yeah, probably because I'm a woman.
Put a big fucking gown on and cover it all up anyway. Big moo-moo.
Yeah, it's like, no, it's not because you're a woman, Carrie. It's because you're fat.
Did the same thing to Hamill, man. Mark Hamill had to lose a bunch of weight too because he was a fat ass.
Yep. It's like, no, they just don't want Princess Leia in a muumuu on Star Wars set. Lose 20 or fucking beat it. Sorry. You know?
So now the talk is, do they CGI her into the next one to the extent they need her in Episode 9?
Yeah. Didn't they do that with,
with Grand Moff Tarkin.
That's right, Tarkin.
And they said that they had approval from the family to do that. And they had kind of a stand-in who sort of looked, he was obviously the same stature, sort of looked like him, and then they just tweaked him.
Yeah.
But it looks off. You know, they haven't completely gotten that down. You know,
good at it, though.
Oh, dude, it was good.
But it worked. It was enough
It was enough where Russell, like, leaned over and was like, what's up with that guy? And I'm like, he's CGI'd in.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I love these stories that are coming out. You're hearing this a lot from women in Hollywood who are, you know, there's this real push to, like, oh my God, I'm good enough. I'm hot enough. And oh my God, you wouldn't believe this director said my nose was too big and he was thinking about cutting me and blah, blah, blah. And Carrie Fisher, oh my God, I'd lose 10 pounds if I wanted to be in Star Wars. And it's like, yeah, It's the most shallow industry on the planet. What are you talking about?
It's fantasy.
Like, this is what it is.
Putting it on film, it's a fantasy world. It's not the real world where people are actually fat and have big noses and small titties.
People are making multi-million dollar decisions based on looking through this frame in a camera.
They
want to
escape reality, Mike.
Can I sell this as a sex symbol? Is her fucking nose too big? Are her titties not quite large enough for me to sell this to millions and millions of fans? And those are the decisions they're making.
Deborah Messing.
It is what it is. Sorry. Don't go into that business if you don't want to be critiqued for it.
Hey, Mark Leibovitz. He has 16 years of institutional investment experience, including being a senior portfolio manager on a mutual fund. His background is in investments, not sales, so he's not going to be a stupid salesman when you go see him.
Nope.
And you should go see him. You should call him and or go see him. Let him use his experience to build an investment plan for you. Call Mark Leibovitz at LPL Financial. He's at 248-626-2000. Ask for Mark. He's a great guy. You can trust him.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA SIPC.
Well put, E.
Thank you.
Very well put. I know, obviously, Putin has been running our country for, what, 6-8 months now?
You're right.
Is it possible that we're going to end up going to war with Russia?
Yeah, what do? We shot down a Syrian plane, and now Russia's like, we're going to shoot you down next time.
Yeah. You cross this line, and they're drawing a red line in the sand.
It's basically the plot of Top Gun going on right now.
Yeah.
Just hope Maverick is up to it this time.
What a mess over there. You know, you got all these different factions and religions, tweaked religious beliefs, fighting to the death in this civil war over there.
More importantly, speaking of Top Gun, did you hear they're actually going forward with Top Gun 2? Finally.
Are they?
Yes. And they've got Cruise on board.
Seriously?
Dude, Cruise's career is in the fucking toilet.
Oh,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Mummy in the Mummy.
Oh.
Not that I saw it or would ever plan on seeing it, but I can see the commercials.
No, and
I can,
you know, it's bullshit.
Right. The Mummy.
No, that guy is done.
Yeah.
But he's trying to resurrect it with Top Gun 2. Would you go see it, Mike?
Is Kilmer in it?
Who?
Val.
Oh, Val. Iceman?
Yeah, didn't he have like throat cancer from eating pussy or something?
No, that was Michael Douglas.
I know, but Michael Douglas, like Val was trying to keep that quiet. He had like a trach thing in his neck.
No shit.
And he had, walking around Los Angeles in 85 degree weather with a scarf on, and he was photographed leaving like a grocery store with a trach thing, and he was filmed. People got pictures of him at a Laker game with the scarf on. Find those pictures, E, of Val Kilmer.
I thought he was just fat as shit. I didn't realize he had the trach.
He's one of these fucking weirdos that doesn't believe in modern medicine. Like, his religion doesn't let him. And so it's like
Christian Scientist or something.
Yeah, exactly. Now, he kind of disputes that, but the facts are what they are. He wasn't seeing someone. Finally, I think they've eased up, according to him, on some of those, like, nope, can't see a doctor under any circumstance. You know, it'll heal on its own, or it was meant to be.
Yeah.
And so he did finally get some surgery done. But Michael Douglas was talking about Val Kilmer, pissed Kilmer off, because he was like, hey, he's got the same thing as me, you know, from eating box and stuff. And he got that papillona whatever virus. Oof. And
Kilmer wanted it quiet.
Kilmer did not want to acknowledge that he had an issue going on at all. Like on his tongue.
Oh yeah, he looks like Doug Michaelis. I mean, look at that guy. He really has taken on the Doug Michaelis look.
Yeah, he sure has. Maybe that's part of the
pussy illness
disease. Yeah, as you start to take on the Doug Michaelis look.
God, how far has that guy fallen? He was a huge sex symbol with the Doors.
Dude, that Doors movie.
He was awesome in that.
Yeah,
it's James Morrison. Look at this guy. He played Batman. That guy was a Batman.
He was a Batman. Yeah.
Oh, how far he's fallen.
So is he going to be in Top Gun? I mean, can you have him?
He can't do that.
Cooking around in a jet, dude?
And then Kelly McGinnis, have you seen her?
Oh. No. What are they going to be, like professors now with the Top Gun flight school or something?
Yes, probably. I remember I took history of film and documentary, as you know, at Michigan State University.
Sure.
It's a big blow-off class that I took, I believe, junior or senior year for a free 4 credits.
Well, that along with badminton?
No, that was at Western.
Oh, that was, okay.
Shuttlecockery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Master of it. Took down an Olympic champion.
The power game. Play the power game. Back to history of film and documentary. Jim Cash is the writer of Top Gun, also did Legal Eagles and several other stupid movies. But he was the professor over this course. And he said,
he wrote Top Gun and he was your professor?
Yes.
Excellent.
Wrote Top Gun. And he said, as soon as he wrote the first one, he wrote a second one. and it was in the bag and it was ready to go. So at that time, it was like, oh, no shit. Is this going to happen? And he was like, well, you know, talks are going on. He was kind of hinting at it back then. Yeah. And that was like in 97 95.
Do you think it's possible that they're going to use his script? Like,
I can't imagine that that would hold.
Like, the references would be just so dated. You know what I mean? He'd be talking about Rubik's Cubes and stuff. And
good point. There's no internet. Not a real useful one, at least.
Yeah, yeah. Just be an odd set of things. You'd have to update a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? Talking about Pong and Atari, Pac-Man and shit.
Grab my Palm Pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that'd be cool if he had a cool plot line. I just don't know. And that's what
he said.
With...
He said, like, Maverick comes back as an instructor.
Oh, but, really?
Yeah, that's what
no
he
kidding.
At.
So, well, I guess we'll see. I guess that really doesn't have anything to do with a Russia story per se.
Sort of did.
But yeah, you've Fire got jets. This. So apparently, one of our guys.
Highway through the danger zone.
I guess we shot down a Syrian jet.
We did.
Who was just being kind of a dick up there, just being a little bit of a dicky guy. And so we've got troops on the ground that are probably assholes anyways. I think they're a Turkish group that's taking on ISIS, and we offer support to them. So, you know, we like offer them encouragement.
At least today they're taking them on. Maybe tomorrow they, I don't know, go over the line and start fighting with ISIS. We don't know. But that day they were supporting us and fighting ISIS.
Right. Make no mistake about it. They hate us and want us to burn and rot in eternal hell.
They will enjoy the weapons that we gave them very, very much.
Very, very
much. Probably use them to our demise in the future.
You know, our choices are we side with Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, or this Turkish group of extremists or whatever that are fighting these people. I don't know. So anyway, Syria and Russia are teamed up together fighting ISIS, quote unquote. And so our guys that we're supporting, giving ground support or air support to their groundwork, start taking shellings from they're getting bombed. Mm. And so America is like calling up Russia on the secret hotline.
Would you guys knock that shit off? Stop bombing. Those are our guys down there.
Is it the bald guy from Top Gun on the aircraft carrier?
Maybe.
The guy with the cigar?
Maybe. The white uniform?
No, he wasn't in a faggoty white uniform.
Oh, shit. I don't remember
him. That was
a few
good men.
Yeah. Well, so then a Syrian jet came like almost immediately back and started dropping bombs again. And it was like, you motherfucker. And so we just shot his ass out of the sky.
Mike does a pistol move.
And shot his ass out of the sky. I don't know if the Syrian
pilot
ejected.
So it was anti-aircraft or was it a fighter?
It was a fighter jet. First time a U.S. fighter jet has engaged in enemy fire with someone in like 20 years.
What?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Mike.
20 years, dude. Look it up.
Is this like the story of the baby falling from the 10th floor?
Which proved to be true. Which proved to be true.
Did it prove to be?
I heard it was Kosovo, like 20 years ago, was the last time our jets have gone after another country's jets in like an attack position.
They had
or
to
something.
Be champing at the bit.
Yeah.
Have a whole generation of fighter pilots that have not engaged another fighter.
Well, they occasionally get to drop a bomb.
They drop shit all the time. Yeah, they shoot shit all the time, but not another fight. Wow.
And they occasionally, you know, drop bombs in farmers' backyards. Whatever, it happens. You know, not going to be perfect every day of the year, but yeah, dude, I'm telling you, you can look it up in the break. But I'm positive they said it's been 20 years.
Yeehaw, Jester's dead.
And so now Russia and Syria are pointing fingers at the U.S. and we're being blamed as assholes and, you know, going against, you know, this is a country that's part of the, you know, peace treaty or whatever. And here you attack them. This is a crime and all that kind of shit. So, you know, it depends who you believe. Do we believe Bashar al-Assad and Putin or do we believe our Russian leader or our American forces?
I'm going to believe our American forces on this one, Mike.
I'm going to choose to do that as well for now, for the time being.
It's an open issue, though.
Yeah.
We'll look into it.
God, imagine if you're that pilot who's like, hell, wait, yes. I got the call. I actually get to pull the trigger. Yes! And then shoot that son of a bitch out of the sky. Oh, I love it. So the U.S. repeated combat operations under the guise of combating terrorism against the legitimate armed forces of a UN member country. This is a flagrant violation of international law and an actual military aggression against the Syrian Arab Republic. So,
Sure, there's satellite data. We can prove it.
Yeah, but
fake news. Fake news. You know how easy it would be to alter satellite images, dude?
Come on, man. Come on, dude. Another interesting story today, Jay.
Victory for the Slants. You get into that?
I am. Yeah, I'm fired up for the Slants. Good for them. The Slants, they're Japanese, right? Asian
of some sort.
Yes.
Slanted eyes is the point.
Mm. And they were they went to get a trademark
for their band called the Slants.
Yeah. And so the trademark office went, yeah, that's a derogatory term. That's racist. We cannot issue that.
It disparages people.
Mm-hmm. So they their main guy, Simon Tam, was like, fuck you. This is our name. We're taking it back.
Reclaiming it.
We reappropriation of the name Strants. We will no longer be identified by Strant the eyes, and so we would take this name. And so they fought it to the Supreme Court. This is the same ruling that the Washington Redskins dealt with. And a lower court, if you remember a few years ago, it was a federal court, but a lower federal court removed, and correct me if I've got any of these details wrong, removed the trademark protection for the Washington Redskins.
I don't remember the Redskins case, how that procedurally has gone on.
Oh, this is great news. And I can say anything, and you can't dispute it. So the Redskins won the right to keep their name the Redskins.
As long as they use a Redskin potato and not a person.
No, that was our suggestion to them, was to use a Redskin potato and just go, yeah, we're the Redskins, whatever. But they lost the protection so that other people couldn't use the name Redskins. So if you wanted to, you could take the Washington Redskins logo and throw it up and they couldn't sue you for copyright infringement.
Well, that's what trademark protection does. And that's what the Slants were saying. Like, hey, you know, there's value to this. We want to protect this name from others using it.
Yeah. And so the Redskins and Dan Snyder were suing they were fighting that. They wanted to fight that all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, like a year ago, said, look, the Strants are coming up before you. So it's basically the same thing. So why don't you park it, Redskins? Sit back here, put your car in park, and chill out. We'll deal with the Slants, and we'll see where this lands for you following that.
And that's what we talked about yesterday with precedent in our system. One holding has presidential value over similar facts
and
issues.
And so this morning, Supreme Court ruled that federal trademarks can be registered in most cases, even if they are considered derogatory. And so they're saying basically that this isn't considered hate speech. It's offensive, but it's not hate speech. So they do, I think, give the trademark office some leeway.
Yeah, they're saying it violated the First Amendment freedom of speech. And, you know, what happens all the time at the Supreme Court is the Supreme Court's looking at whether a statute or regulation is constitutional. And so that if it goes beyond what the Constitution allows or it violates the Constitution in some way, they'll strike it down. Mm. So that's the federal act went beyond what's allowed under the Constitution. People should be able to have the free speech ability to use a name like the Slants and not be shut down.
And
it's
so
private speech.
Yeah. So I wonder what would be considered, like if you we want to call our band the Fuck, you know, like that would be ruled offense. Like you couldn't do that and trademark it, right?
No idea. I don't know trademark law.
Yeah. I don't think you could. I don't think you would have the success if you tried to use the N word. I think it comes under, like that would be deemed hate speech. Things like that. I know it gets into the weeds and gets a little confusing with these things, but this is big news for the Washington Redskins. The Redskins are totally going to be able to point to this ruling from the Slants case and then probably be able to retain their trademark rights, right?
Whether it's legal or not, though, I've always thought like the Redskins just goes a bit far. I just wouldn't do it. I think I don't know. Brown skins, white skins, Redskins,
Yeah,
it's a bit much. Just change it. Come on, man.
Not going to happen.
Football team.
Dan Snyder is trending like crazy today already. He's already come out and said that he is, quote, thrilled with the Slants rule.
Because the tradition of football can now live on. Who the fuck cares?
Yeah. It's one of those things that, you know, when we talk about looking back at history, you know, believe it or not, kids, 50 years from now, there are things that you're doing right now that you think are fine that are going to be judged harshly.
Don't tell me that trannies are not going to be viewed as mentally ill.
They might
Mike, don't take that from me.
Yeah, people are mentally ill. This conversation is going to be played in a courtroom someday, and they're going to be going, this gentleman, Jay Detroit, really believed that, folks. He was not
Listen
a bad
to this
person.
Viewpoint. In 2017, this was one of the prevailing points.
I know. But he did, and a lot of people, believe it or not.
Good people.
Good people. They were thoughtful and caring, and they helped their neighbors out, and they worked hard, and they lived that American dream. But there were, believe it or not, he was not the only one that held this position.
He was unwoke.
That some guy wants to cut his dick off and claim to be a woman might be mentally ill. Maybe.
Is.
See, he's still standing by it, folks. You can hear it in his voice, and he really, really believes that.
Yes, I do.
God, I was watching this video. Someone tweeted it at us the other day. And I saw this like 2 years ago. I don't know. We might have even talked about it at one point. But there's this dude who's tranny. He's just a dude. And he's got a fucking bad Bob wig on.
He's got the big Adam's apple. Hey, how you doing? I'm James.
James. And I was just suicidal my whole life. I hated being me, and everyone thought I was crazy, and what do they know? And he's now trying to claim that he's trans-ageist. Remember this story?
Yes.
And so he's like, I've moved in with this beautiful family. They accept me for who I am. There's this man and woman and like their kids. And
trans-ageist? What, he's claiming to be a baby or something?
He doesn't identify as the age
he's
that he
is. He's a six-year-old. He can identify his age. He's wearing a woman's wig, and he's playing with this child. And she's like, well, tomorrow's my birthday, and I'm going to be 8, but you're already 8, which means you're going to be 9, and that makes you older than me. I just wish there was a way that I could be older than you. And he's like, I tell you what, tomorrow I'm going to be 6. And you're going to be older than me. And there's this man, this full-grown, mid-40s man.
Apparently fully developed.
Yeah. And it's just like, what the fuck? How is that guy not locked in a jail cell? Who would in their right mind
allow him in their home?
Insane person.
Wow.
To like, well, I share a bedroom with her. Why would we're both 6? Why wouldn't we share a bed?
Woo!
We're having sleepovers.
Sure.
Sure. And who are you to say he's not 6?
There he is.
Look at that poops. Look at that poops.
I take it back, Mike. That man's not mentally ill.
So, okay, here's the thing. You're at home, you got your beautiful family, and her family, this child's family moves in down the street.
Yeah, not only is he a child, he's like a 6-year-old dude, but he's a child and he's a female child.
And then you get a call, you don't know anything about this. And from a new neighbor, and it's like, yeah, we've got.
I remember that guy now. Look at him.
And you and Gab get a call at home, and some guy or woman says, yeah, hi, we're new to the neighborhood, and our daughter Sally,
quote unquote,
is the same age as Sweet Pie, and we're trying to introduce her to new friends. We're having a little sleepover tonight. Is there any way you guys could bring her over? Want to make her feel comfortable before the new school year starts? You don't know this yet. And so you're like, yeah, maybe we go over there and bring Sweet Pie over and just make sure they don't
see the new neighbor.
We want to be respectful. And that answers the door.
Hi, I'm Sally. I can't wait to start kindergarten next year with your child. Thank you for bringing over for our sleepover tonight.
What would your reaction be? Would you try to be nice? Would you try to be cordial? Would you go, yeah, fuck you, insane person. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I'd probably do something in between that, but... Yeah, Sweet Pie would not be over there.
Is there any video of them?
There was.
I mean, there. I know there is.
Yeah.
This circles back to the Washington Redskins. Jay, for the longest time, this is one of the earliest debates I can remember when I first started feeling like, oh my God, this PC culture is running amok. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Going back 25 years, and I remember going, oh, come on. The Washington Redskins, it's a historic name. It's been there forever. They're honoring these people. It's like being a lion or a bear. It's strength. It's, I felt that way. And I strongly believe that. And part of me still does. Like, you're honoring the history and heritage and blah, blah, blah. Why are these people bitching about this? What is going on in society where now we're just going to bitch about everything, But the more time goes on and the more you see the discussion about the Washington Redskins in particular, the more it's easier now than ever for me to go, yeah, that's weird. That is fucking weird. The Indians too, when you look at like the the Chief giant Wahoo. Nose and the bright red face.
Caricature.
Like, yeah, and the one feather. You can just see where it's like, ugh. Yeah, people, I can see why people would be turned just, off by this.
And it's so unimportant to keep it, you know. Oh, well, it's tradition. It's the, dude, come on. It's fucking, it's a sport, whatever.
Yeah. What, do you think it's cool then if at some point they do, say the Redskins do lose the name and they're the and, Washington, you know,
and
something.
Snyder makes millions on new merchandise, changing the logo and selling new merchandise to all those people who had Redskins gear.
Yeah.
Yeah, if that happens, what?
Well, I'm thinking like, okay, so what do you, it'll probably have something to do with politics, you know, the Washington Capitals, the Washington Senators, the Washington, you know, Republicans, whatever.
Can't be the Bullets, we know that.
Well, no, it cannot. How fitting would that be? But say they're the Washington, you know, do-nothings, whatever.
Okay.
Then there's so much that goes into these, there's so much money to be made, and it's so cool when they wear their throwback uniforms. Can the Redskins, like, once a year throw on the Redskin garb and everybody gets to wear their feathered shit at the game? Can we do that, or is that out too?
Yeah, I'd have to think about that. I don't know.
Could you go back to the old school Redskins with the maroon helmet that had the spear? Is that better than the fucking Indian guy?
I just think the name Redskins is just lame. Like, all right. Brown skins, black skins, would we have that? No, we wouldn't. Not in a million fucking years.
Yeah, we've got red socks and black socks. What do you say? Racist? White socks?
Hmm? They're socks.
Those were referred to stockings.
Oh. It's one about people's color. Huh. All right, you got a minute of her there?
I think so here.
Her, quote unquote.
Well, it's a new neighbor, Jay.
52-year-old transgender.
Sure.
Trans or leave.
Put your knees together. We don't want to look up your skirt or your romper or whatever
to me,
that is.
Stop being trans isn't something I could do. It'd be like telling you to stop being, you know,
a good therapist.
6 foot two and or leave. And
look at those little pink stockings, booties on his feet.
Oh, look at those.
I was trans before we married. I was a trans parent for 23 years.
Works on the line with you.
It floored me. It scared me.
Oh, something went awry.
Because I didn't know how to not be trans.
Can you fast forward it to like where the kid is? Oh, there he is. Oh, I'm sorry.
Where, let's do this. Let's talk about it and let people know that.
Look at this son of a bitch.
2007, when I actually stepped forward and started getting myself educated as to.
Sure.
And children.
Like, I can force this on people. I educated myself. I can really force this on society.
Made up of friends and a new relationship.
There's days I forget my past.
Close your knees, dude.
Oh,
if you're really
God.
A chick.
Well, he's got a giant dick and balls in the way, Jay. True. She does. I mean, it's not easy if you've got 9 inches of
a fresh start.
Cock between your legs to just...
Interesting, because it's new to me. And...
Yeah.
I'm getting...
Trans ageist, Jay.
In a way, I've never been... There's unconditional love. I'm starting to feel like...
Yeah,
and don't get me wrong. The dude doesn't deserve to be beat up or not loved by other people. It's just mentally ill, man.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny. Like when this first popped up, like the transgender thing, and I don't mean to get on a bitch fest there, but for conversation's sake, because I know anytime we go out somewhere, we're going to be hit with three or four people who have trans members in their family. It happens to us every time we go out. Someone's going to come up and go, yeah, my kid is, or my husband was, or I'm dating, you know, I mean, it's what it is. So I don't mean to be just rudely offensive to people, but there was an argument when this first started coming out, we would talk about how, oh yeah, you're okay. So you just decide you're a fucking girl now. Great. What's to say you don't just decide you're a tree tomorrow, or you're not going to date a dog tomorrow? And who are we to tell you? And people went, that's outrageous and insulting. That's insulting.
No one would
do
that.
Who would do that? Oh, now I'm just going to date a tree? Fuck you. This is a serious thing, and it needs to be taken seriously.
There are trees out there now. You can date them.
Yeah. And when you see stuff like this where it's like, oh, now we're just going to, one day we're a woman, the next we're a guy, depending on how long the bathroom lines are maybe, or now we're... Now we're just a six-year-old, but tomorrow the eight-year-old wants to be older, so I'm going to be a seven-year-old, and she's going to be a nine-year-old. And we're supposed to just go, yeah, no, totally cool. No, I get that. No, I get that. Why wouldn't you take the suicidal man married with a family who puts a wig and lipstick on and now says he's a girl and he's six. Why wouldn't you let that suicidal guy into your home and let him play with your children? I mean, what kind of monster are you? Why wouldn't you do that? Can you see at that point where someone might go, yeah, not really feeling that. Sorry. No offense.
Gentlemen. Oh, look up.
Locate, step to the side. Everybody clear. No problems. You're good. Let's take a quick timeout. More news coming out on the Grenfell Tower, or the Grenfell, is it Grenfell Tower?
It is the tower from which a baby was allegedly dropped from the 10th floor. You tell me, Mike.
Yes, I believe it's the Grenfell.
I believe you're right.
Look at that. How did that building not fall, dude?
I know.
How does that, like, we all remember 9-11 when those buildings went. This thing is a perfect rectangular box in the middle of the city, charred to shit. If you look inside, it's grisly, dude. It is just wiped out.
Yeah.
How is that still standing? Anyway, we got an update on deaths there. Also, I don't know if you followed at all this this Bachelor in Paradise show.
Yeah, I've been hearing about that.
Yeah.
Sexual assault, possibly.
Sure, sure. We'll call it sexual assault for the sake of discussion. We'll get into those stories in a moment.
The Detroit Cast continues after this short break.
Hi, everyone. This is Kelly Menino, your event coordinator for the Hamlin Pubs. Did you know that Hamlin Pubs offer two private rooms at each location, both located in Shelby Township? We specialize in all kinds of events, from bridal and baby showers, dinner rehearsals, to corporate luncheons and wedding receptions. My team is committed to making your occasion your most memorable event. Give me a call today so that we can plan your next event. Call me at 586-596-1425 or visit our website at hamlinpubs.com.
The Detroit Cast continues now, bitches. Here's Mike and Jay.
All right, welcome back to the Detroit Cast. Mike and Jay. Biggie is here, our resident history buff. And
there's been a lot of talk about buffery.
Yeah.
In the realm of history in particular.
Yeah. You're going to have to remind me, Jay, because we bagged on him so many times. It was he declared himself a self-proclaimed history buff when talking about the key to the city up in Houghton.
He's quoted in a newspaper, the Miami Gazette, as saying such.
Right. And so we were like, oh, wow, we didn't realize we had such a history buff in our hands.
No, he said that before that, though, in his defense. Yeah. Like, this is not something that was new presented to the Miami Gazette. He's always fancied himself a lover of history, student of history.
Sure.
Which I always contended, all right, the dude was ferried around in the back of an Astro van, whacking off to some pretty cool sites. You know, American, his dad did a good job getting up and down the East Coast.
Yep.
Saw some historical stuff.
Yeah. He's been all over D.C. and South Carolina.
And from that, he has gleaned the notion that he is a history buff.
Yeah.
And loves the American Revolutionary War through Civil War. That's really his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So we got to thinking, wouldn't it be great if E could impart some of that knowledge on us, because we're always looking for new information. You know how I love the post? I get posts from the listeners.
Absolutely.
First thing I do is read that little factoid.
If it's not stamped over.
Yeah.
No, this is very, very true. I love having a lawyer on hand, and I love when you get into the weeds on something, you know, about that's kind of in your wheelhouse. I love digging into that a little bit and getting a little bit of knowledge about, like, what goes into the thought process or what you're thinking about. I love that stuff.
You were just quizzing me on the various justices' positions on the Supreme Court case. We just...
No, I was trying to understand what the legal language meant that they were saying. They were saying...
Lawyers.
It basically looked like a paragraph where an idiot wrote it, and there's a bunch of just, like, weird words and phrases. And I was like, does any moron read this and understand this? And you did immediately. And you were able to break it down for me. I'm like, I learned that. I like that. I like that because I trust you as a, I wouldn't say you're a lawyer buff, but in your wheelhouse, it's like, I'm learning something from you.
And we have the very same trust of E in the realm of history.
Well, having a self-proclaimed history buff on staff, it's like, dude, what are we doing not tapping this resource? I mean, if it's something where the audience can learn a bit, we can learn a bit.
We need to play to our independent contractor's strengths.
That's right. That's right. And I wish, you know, you've got the lawyer thing. He's obviously got the history buff thing. I don't think I have anything.
You have the gift of gab, Mike.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if that hasn't done me very much good. But so anyway, the other day, and I think this was off the air or maybe in the members area. I'm not sure where it came about, but We were talking about giving E
a platform.
Yeah, and just letting him run with something. We really didn't. Am I explaining this right? We didn't give him any instructions.
It just occurred to me with all the buffery talk that he might want to impart some knowledge and the listeners might want to learn something. So mm-hmm. it would be perfect to do kind of a day in history, mm-hmm. Big E style. And Big E could pick the day and just run with it. You know, look something up. What I don't want is him just reading from Wikipedia. That's what we want to avoid. Anyone can do that.
Yeah.
But we wanted a bit of research and just kind of some bullet points in his mind and explained in only the way that Big E can do.
And what we gave him was, okay, like pick a day. Today happens to be June 19th. And so it was like, all right, pick June 19th. Anything that happened historically in that day, I don't care if it's from the year one or the year 2016, but historically something happened on this day. And why don't you explain that event to us? We don't want him to write it down and then like read us a report.
Yeah.
We want him to like Professor E. History buff that he is. And
given his interest, I think he's going to stick in that like 1775 through
hell yeah
1890-ish time frame.
So E, do you remember what some of the things that were going on today in history that you had to choose from?
Oh, I don't mean I could look at the list. I mean, I already don't remember the things that I picked. I remember what I picked, but I don't remember.
Well, we're off to a good start. So what did you pick?
Things, but. Well, to Jay's point, he's right. I did stick with early revolutionary into Civil War time. And I noticed when I was looking yesterday, researching what happened today, June 19th, 1778, Washington finally leaves Valley Forge with his troops.
I'll be damned.
Wow, this is great news. I slept through Civil War and Revolutionary War.
See, when I think like Valley books. Forge, am I wrong to imagine a bitter cold winter and suffering?
I don't know. I'm hoping to learn that. I don't know.
E? Now, I did kind of, there was loose rules on what I was allowed to do and what I was allowed not to do. Now, I didn't write anything down, as you guys can see, I guess. If you're watching YouTube, you can see. And I just mildly read a little bit just so I could remember. Know something about it.
Because you know, I mean, this is stuff right in your wheelhouse.
No,
Valley
you're right.
Forge. You say Valley Forge to E. He's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Dude, been Washington. There.
Yeah. That Racked is off true. In an Astro van on the way there. Yeah.
I do. That was my exact same thing. Like when I saw June 19th leaving Valley Forge, all I ever remember about, as I'm sure Mike knows this, is back in the day, the Revolutionary War had been going on for a few years now. And America was kind of on the ropes, to be honest with you.
We were.
Wasn't looking good. And I don't remember what the reasoning was of Valley Forge. I don't know if they were just in this area, but they did cohere. And
God,
try
it seems
to, like
something a history buff would know. Just
try
like,
to like regroup. You know what I mean? Like we're gonna.
Year was this?
Well, 17. Well, 1770. It started in December of 1777 is when they entered Valley Forge.
Okay, what happened in 1776 that is making me wonder if you have the year right?
Now let me look here again.
Oh boy.
Oh, 1777. That's what I said.
All right, you got it.
That was right. Well, so anyway.
So
yes,
are you starting
right.
now?
I thought that.
Do you want to pin this to the Declaration of Independence and say, you know, this.
I don't know what to, I started. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right,
there's
go.
No real. I'm kind
You're supposed to be like a professor. Maybe you stand up and you say, kids, today we're going to learn about this day, June 19th.
E, my
well,
favorite was
doing
my
that.
Favorite picture of E, and it's on the website somewhere, is him standing at a podium. Teaching at a community college. Mm-hmm. He was called in by a professor who he knows, I don't know, off the street or something.
Yeah.
Guy's like, yeah, he used to be on radio. Come on in and talk to my students in this communication class. And E was there, and thank God we have a picture of him. He's just kicking knowledge. He has one hand on the podium. The other one's up in the air like he's
like he's
know?
Got something important to say. He's got a furrowed
like
brow.
Hamlet and take the skull out of Hamlet's hand.
Sure. He's got a look, a quizzical yet informed look on his face.
Kind of like, good point, Melanie.
Yeah.
Let me tell
Allow
you.
Allow me to elaborate.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great, it's a snapshot.
It's dynamite.
It is. It's frozen in time as a snapshot, and future generations will look at that and go, God, I would have loved to have that professor. He seems cool and hip. And
so, you're E, why don't you stand up?
No, well,
it
no,
might help just to have
no,
you stand
it won't
up.
Help me to stand up. Mike's asking me, like, have you started yet? I already was giving him literally facts about the fact that the army was there
he
and
was.
It was in a situation
we were,
where.
But we were kind of like laying down what we're doing here. Well, what I thought, like,
this day, but this particular fact you've chose, I've chosen a fact on this day in history that there's not much to the fact other than the behind this, the background of why that fact
what
mattered.
Takes General Washington to the valley.
So are you done? Is what you're saying?
No, that's not necessarily what I'm saying. But I'm saying the idea of, like you said,
does he do his famous General Washington move coming out of the valley?
That's the Potomac, man. That was when he was riding the ice. You know, he's guiding his men across the Potomac and the frigid.
He was riding the ice, was he?
Well,
was on
riding
an iceberg?
He was marching the people.
He was on one of those hover craft, those blow up crafts that skip across the ice.
No. He was as a general set forth.
Yes.
One leg up.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I just told you. Okay, so you're technicality bullshit on how I worded it is all semantics on the fact that I told you exactly where that scene took place.
All right, let me start fresh, and because I feel some hostility in the room, E. I can see you're getting worked up.
I'm not getting worked up.
I apologize if I stepped on your presentation.
There was
now,
no presentation.
Why don't we just...
Come on, Big E. Is that all you got?
Why don't we just start fresh?
I need a little context, friendly. So I need to understand why we're in the valley anyway.
There's no, and I was giving him that, and then I think he just started.
So stop blaming me because your presentation sucks.
And why did they call it Valley Forge?
I don't know that. I mean, that is, it was a name, dude.
There was a lot of forgery that took place. It was a birth of forgery, and that's why they call it Valley Forge.
Is that true, Professor E?
Prove me wrong, E.
I can actually almost certainly with a Google machine prove you wrong on that. It was called, why was it called, I don't know why it was called Valley Forge. It was called Valley Forge before they even got there. So this has been a city or a whatever since whenever.
A valley.
It's been a city.
Whatever. Was it a well-populated city or was it just a valley, E?
I don't know.
I'm trying to understand the setting.
I don't know the answer to that question. I believe it was just
I bet it's a valley.
Is it like Death Valley?
It's not hot like Death Valley. You know how hot Death Valley gets?
No, I'm talking, like I'm talking about a football stadium.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Death Valley, I don't know what you're talking about. How that came into play.
I don't know. You said Valley Forge, and I was thinking Death Valley, and
then you and
football games going on.
You need to keep
there.
Us on track, E.
Yeah, you're losing the class, dude.
There was no guidelines on how I was supposed to do this. I'm just telling you. This is a big day in reality, though.
Dude,
by the way,
this
time,
this teacher sucks.
This time,
keeps yelling at us.
Of the,
I'm gonna throw a dip in.
Now I will tell you,
I'm
gonna
do spitballs as soon as he turns his fucking head.
You will pay attention, goddammit. I will crack the
start chucking erasers at the board.
There are gonna be repercussions if you're gonna sit here and do this.
All right, you got control of the class.
No.
Go.
I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't know why this date was the reason they left. I agree. I thought that if you'd asked me how long they were in Valley Forge, I would not have assumed they stayed all the way until June.
Teacher, who are we even talking about? I forgot
you're
who you were
talking
American,
about. You're talking about the American army that was fighting the British in the Revolutionary War. They were not doing very well. They were having issues for sure. They were starting to kind of not be winning this war. And I know
teacher's
that it was
got a zit on his lip. You see that right there? That's the most painful
one. I know
ever.
For a fact from my memory that it was
you just
like
want to squeeze it.
Yeah,
he
I
was
don't,
trying. But. There was some. This I'm pretty sure from my memory. This was some effort of like I'm gonna get all the guys together and we're gonna freaking some camaraderieship. Like we're gonna
camaraderieship.
Yeah, we're gonna get the gang together.
It's always good.
And we're gonna. I don't know. And it was rough. I gotta be honest. I remember hearing about this.
I gotta be honest. He used to. I gotta be honest.
No, I remember them talking about
he
like
set himself there. That was great. Did you see what he did?
Food was
he's role playing now. Act it out like General Washington. Order your troops.
Mr. Fady, were they fair to the black soldiers as they were to the white ones?
Go blacks!
Was the treatment of the black soldiers the same as it was for the whites? Or would they put the blacks on the front line and let them take the heat first?
They had their own brigades, I believe, at this point. I don't think they have integrated brigades.
Am I imagining an awful winter in Valley
Forge?
Yes,
it was terrible. It got to the point where I believe they were... Like I remember,
did
I
they make
like
the
remember,
black soldiers shovel the snow at a white people's barracks?
They wouldn't be shoveling snow.
So they waited 6 more months to leave.
I think they were like training and shit and trying to get the guys back. I didn't look
you
into
think
all
or
the,
you know.
I don't know. I dude, I didn't look that much into this. You guys, based on the rules, I wasn't supposed to like really research that much.
Oh, so that sounds like that. Who gave you that directive? Now, don't overly research, E. We don't want you to be, you know,
informed
on that stuff.
I thought the rule was supposed to. I was just supposed to kind of look at the generic.
Well, I want you to be able to speak on it.
Damn it! Well, I would have looked more. I would have read this a little more then.
But. All right. So what do we know? Washington was in Valley Forge, and there was camaraderie
for some reason.
Yeah, for some reason.
No, I told you.
And then they left.
I did.
It was a harsh winter. Apparently, according to the assistant professor in the room.
No, I would have.
Teacher's aide.
I just said it was rough. I said the food and the stuff. I remember reading stories or hearing things about like people absolutely like getting frostbite, obviously dying from the frozen situation because they're running out of food.
Will buy us alcohol this weekend
for sure.
Like if we brought seriously, if we pay for his alcohol, will he buy ours?
No, yeah. Probably not. Shut.
Fuck. I'll see if my neighbor will. See if my neighbor will.
Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy'll do it. He's in law school now, but fuck it. He will, dude.
I don't know, dude. I could have looked a little more.
So basically Valley Forge happened.
Well, no, it was
a good point. I didn't know that.
No, they all
got together. I wanted to walk away from this with some real knowledge. General Washington was there. Winter was harsh, as I pointed out.
Yeah.
They apparently leave 6 months later for some reason. Well, after some camaraderie.
Yeah. And he didn't do his famous pose there.
Yeah.
Allegedly. I can't believe he wouldn't have done that.
He probably did.
That's what he's known for.
Yeah. He did it at the Potomac, and he also had to have done it at Valley
Such
Forge.
A strong
Why wouldn't you?
Move.
Oh. Bravely looking up, sword on your hip.
You put the hand to the bill.
Sure.
Look forth.
God, Washington is not a handsome man.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, he had to be the shit, right? If he was going to score with the ladies, that hair and everything about
him. Wooden teeth.
I know. Yeah. No, yeah, it wasn't much in his face.
Look at that son of a bitch.
Look at that guy. Wow.
Wow.
Ah.
General Washington.
Dude.
Crossing the Potomac.
And you know what's funny about this? This son of a bitch is like, he gets all the credit in this picture. The famous General Washington.
Look at the effort being had.
Everyone around
him. On the oars.
He's basically just standing there. Ah, look at me.
You know, that's
I'm sailing into town. And there's 50 guys around him with basically sticks.
No.
Just rowing their balls off for him.
Dude, this is a painting of
a rendering.
A rendering of a very historic situation of just, of course, at that point, picturing the hero. But the reality of this situation was they I believe they were either on the
ropes. You know.
Well, I'm going by memory at this point. Now, this isn't even on the day in history. This is full on just memory.
And dude, but I don't think on the ropes would be a term back then.
Do you know anything about this, Mike?
Boxing
didn't even happen
in its present form.
Do you know anything about this?
Yes,
it happened in a big dirt circle, but not ropes. No,
yeah. What do you know?
So this, all I know, E, is yeah, it was a dirt circle. Maybe I mean people fought.
Yeah,
but pugilism. Like in the ring.
Pugilism goes back, you know, centuries.
Sure. But the term in the ring would not have applied at all. People would note that in your dissertation. In the ropes would not have been a term.
Circle in red? Question mark.
No, there's nothing wrong.
No one would know what you were talking about.
Nothing wrong with the professor using today's language to try to, you know.
Oh, is this one of those new wave classes?
Yeah, I'm like
trying to just blend in with the kids.
Huh? All I know about this picture here is this is when he's. For whatever reason, in the middle of a harsh winter, he's guiding his troops out of Valley Forge.
No.
And then he makes it back to land. And when does he chop down the apple tree?
This has nothing to do with Valley Forge. This is growing across.
When does the apple tree
this was like in the
when does the apple fall on his head?
Yeah.
That's when he was a kid.
He got pissed at the apple tree, and that's why he cut it down.
And that's how he figured out gravity.
Sir Isaac Newton,
that's how he knew about gravity. That's how we learned that. It was because the apple fell on Washington's head.
He chopped
the imagine.
Cherry
he just
tree.
Takes it on the tree. God damn it.
Fucking apples.
Washington chopped a cherry tree and then did
along with the apple tree. Cool. I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
See, we learned.
Washington never did an apple tree. I don't know.
So is this river right by the valley then?
No, this was a different time. This was at a different battle, the famous crossing of the Potomac.
Was that before or after the apple tree and learning about gravity?
After. Both those things.
Okay. Good.
Thank you, Professor.
Wow.
I thought that
was yeah.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate it.
It's an enlightening day for all of us.
Coming back to this class for sure.
How about we do this again tomorrow? And E, we do a little more. We like really dive into something. So why don't you? Or one day this week.
I really didn't know what I was allowed to do or not. I was told I was not even allowed to like.
I didn't want you just going Wikipedia and like cop and reading it. Okay. That's what I didn't want.
Did you honestly think like Jay was going to scream at you for having too much information?
Kind of.
Oh, Jesus.
You thought you were going to get up here and Jay was going to go, God damn it, E, we all learned something today. Thanks for ruining it.
Yeah, we barely wanted to know anything about that. We wanted you to just fumble through it and conflate the Potomac with Valley Forge. I mean, that's what we wanted.
You guys did that.
Well, let me know when he freed the slaves, at what part of history that was, because I want to learn about that.
Because as we know, he was very against slave ownership.
Yeah.
You know what did also happen today? First, on June 19th.
Would you like to add something, Professor?
1846, first official baseball game.
See, that seems like one that would have been easier to do.
I know, but I thought the Valley Forge, I thought I knew more about the Valley Forge.
No,
the top
you
head.
Didn't know dick about it.
I knew a God, little what bit.
What a
knew
shit
more than
baseball
dad.
Game that would have been, too.
Hold on, what part of that did you know off the top of your head?
Almost everything I told you was pretty much off the
top
of my head.
What did you tell me?
About the fact that
they were on the ropes.
They weren't doing, the army was starting to fail, and I remember that they had gone. That in the winter they'd hunker down in this Valley Forge, and it was a big like.
No,
this like,
you didn't mention the winter. I mentioned the harsh
but
winter.
I knew did. That already. Okay. Okay.
Did you know Zott, Ford, and Holly is one of the largest volume F-150 dealers in our area, so they can offer TDC listeners ridiculous deals? Right now, purchase a new 16 Ford F-150 Super Cab XLT 4x4 at just $33,000. That's over $14,000 off sticker. Or lease a new 17 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 at just $199 a month. Peep their ferocious deals and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
E, pick a day this week. I don't care if it's the 20th, 21st, 22nd. We'll be doing three more shows this week. Find something in there that you can deliver.
Please be prepared.
A properly educated
Fine.
Speech. This day in history for the class. Deal?
Okay.
And do research.
Okay.
It's kind of a pilot episode. I mean, you know, yeah, pilots.
Yeah. Hey, you're going to break some eggs before you make the perfect omelet, right? And that's what we did. We just shattered a shitload of eggs today. That's what we're doing. So we're just picking up Humpty Dumpty, and hopefully tomorrow we've got an award-winning presentation.
We're going to have a horse put Humpty Dumpty back together.
That's right. It's absurd. There's no fucking way with hooves. Nope. You're putting a cracked egg back together.
It's the dumbest animal ever to ask.
Of all animals you could possibly ask to fix a shattered egg that fell off the wall, a horse, yeah. Would a horse be the worst one?
Or a person holding romper stompers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a legless sheep.
A dromedary.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. But a horse would be almost tops of the list.
Ridiculous.
So back to the tower we were talking about, the towering inferno. Happened in London. That thing went up ablaze.
Famously where a baby was dropped from 10 stories up and caught
by a guy sprinting out of the crowd.
Sweet grab.
Dude, I mean, that's one of those. You talk about historical grabs like in the NFL.
The catch, Dwight Clark.
Yeah, you got Odell Beckham's one-handed grab in the end zone. Dude, the guy catching a fucking baby dropped from 10 stories out of a burning building. That should be in the Hall of Fame. Statues should be made of that.
Oh, how I wish there was video. Fuck.
Dude, I mean, seriously, a statue should be erected in his honor somewhere. Just a bronze thing of him with a
diving.
With a baby just hurtling through the air. I mean, it warrants it. Anyway, that's the Grenfell Tower. And for days, we've been hearing about 15 dead, but a lot missing. And it's like, yeah, why don't we just chalk those up in the dead category?
They're ready to do that now or no?
Well, they've now said 79 are presumed dead.
That sounds more like it, but even that's light.
Even that's light. And they're barely making their way through.
Why don't you level with me then?
That's what I'm thinking. 79 are dead or missing and presumed dead following the fire that tore through that 24-story building. They've only five victims have been identified so far.
It's probably like the worst spectacle, you know, disaster at any event I can think of.
They said it's one of the reasons that I guess this was a place that's like cheap living and a lot of like refugees from other countries would come there and they're just like, yeah,
like
stick
the
them
projects
in
or something.
Yeah, stick them in the Grenfell, you know. And so you've got this Syrian refugee family. And so part of the reason idea is so bad is like these bodies are so cooked, like you've seen burnt toast before, but it's still identifiable as toast at one point.
Do you like burnt toast?
No.
So many people do. God, what is it? It's that that charred taste. I just do not like it.
I like that on chicks. I used
marshmallows, like when you're roasting marshmallow, you burn the shit out of it.
Not so much. Did you? You had cheap as shit parents. Did your parents ever, or your mom ever, burn the toast and then try to scrape the black off? Yeah. And then salvage it. My mom would do that.
It's somewhat salvageable.
It is. Remarkably, it is.
Get rid of that charring.
Yeah.
I mean, who am I to say what tastes good to someone else? But it just struck me like.
Yeah. Well, these guys were burned. Like, there was no scraping off.
So to me, they wouldn't taste good.
No, not at all.
But to E, they would.
Yeah, E would dig it. And they said the ID has been so hard because they need dental records, and good luck getting Syrian dental records.
Well, that just shows, are we able to really vet these people?
Yeah. Kind of goes along that storyline, doesn't it? So they're saying that it's possible that some of these people are so badly fucking toasted that there's never going to be an ID.
Yeah.
Which immediately got me thinking, like, dude, if there was a time to fake your death,
yep.
Like, if you were in there and you like ran out and got out, and now you're seeing reports where they're like, yeah,
got a freebie, baby,
dude. If you wanted to make a run for it, and you know you're looking at that chick that was cute and held it together when you started dating her in high school, and then just fell to a total disaster once she spit out four kids. And you're looking at that
looking for an escape.
Dude.
This is it, man. Oh, run like the wind. All your debts are forgiven.
Done.
Just done. New identity.
Gone. There's no records of you. There's no dental records. You are getting a new lease on life, my friend. Anyone you didn't like, anyone you had beef with, it's over. All of it. So I wonder if people would do that. Can you imagine?
It's got to think quick. It's got to be a snap decision.
Well, yeah. Let's see. What kind of planning would have? Because you'd have to recognize right away, like, oh boy, I got to hide.
Mm-hmm.
No one can see me now. And then you got to hope that it's going to be the disaster to the level that it is.
You got to have access to enough cash to start getting away and start to, you know, redo your life a little bit.
Yeah. I suppose you'd have to lean on someone like to help get you.
Maybe not.
Jay, do you have anyone that you know can hook me up with a new passport?
Maybe
you know,
I just go start working on the docks or something for a while. You know,
yeah.
Just be transient.
Yeah. So the guy that you know, one of the police chiefs that or the fire marshal or whatever is just coming out and talking about this thing, and they're just like, nothing could have prepared me for this. Like, you look up at this building when you go inside here, it is unbelievable. Like what's going on with these, you know, the conditions of
I'm
these
shocked
bodies.
They're able to go inside other than like the first floor or something.
Well, I was
surprised anyone wants to go inside given the collapsibility of that thing. Because as you said, dude, it looks like it's being held together by burnt toothpicks right now.
I know. Well, they like day one too. They had structural.
Was it day one or two?
That's what I said. Day one or two. I'm not sure. Depends because it happened in the middle of the night. I don't know if you're counting that as day one or if that counts as day
two. How do you count it?
I don't know. I count it, I guess, as day one, so it would probably be day two, that they sent structural engineers in there, and the structural engineers, after like 10 minutes, was like, yeah, dude, these walls, yeah, we're good. Go on in. Let's find some people.
Really?
Yeah. Within like an hour, they were like, nah, you're good. They just like rattled some beams, and were like, yeah, this ain't going anywhere. You're good. And so they've been going up there. And
so this ought to be the model on which every building is built from... For a year, forever more. Other than the burnability of this thing, usually these things aren't they supposed to contain to one floor, two floors?
Well, dude, you want the best of both worlds.
Which you give up in structural, you know, strength. Yeah,
you get what is it? What are they calling it? There's a word they're using, like the collapsing or something, which is, I think the like between the beams. You know, think about where you'd put like stuff to keep insulation and shit like that. And the stuff they were using, like stuff on traditional buildings would be fire retardant. And so it would contain it, self-contain and like not allow you to just, but they said the stuff they used was just like, it's kind of like the station fire.
Yeah.
In where's that, Boston?
Yeah, the soundproofing shit they tried to put all over the ceiling and walls.
And you can literally see it melting off the ceiling, dripping down. Totally, you know, just, you know, so that's what they said. This stuff was gasoline. So yeah, I don't know, man. This is brutal, and people are really starting to get pissed about this. And
yeah, I saw a bunch of protests.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
rich,
I think
rich white people with a lot of time on their hands protesting on behalf of, you know,
the poor,
the people who can't don't have a voice.
Yeah,
it's good.
And they're also talking. You know, you always want someone to blame anytime something goes bad, especially when it's something this bad.
So it's Theresa May in this instance.
They're going after the, you know, I've heard them talking about the, you know, the people that signed off on the project to update this building's outer facade a year ago, and they spent $10 million, and who signed off on that? Which, you know, who was the party that was responsible for putting this stuff in here that was gasoline to this building? And so they're going after all them, and the people that had that do that, that columning stuff that they put in there was saying, oh yeah, well, we knew this is bullshit. You don't put this in something like this.
Wow.
So they're already pointing fingers at each other, and it's going to get ugly, but they're going to want to finger someone for this for sure.
Gross.
I know. You know,
after all that. Hmm.
Yeah. It does seem a bit harsh, doesn't it? And I don't know where these people are going to go either. You know,
the ones that are left.
Yeah.
How many are left?
I don't know. And I would think there'd be hundreds of people living in that building. 2 a.m. Anyway, I mentioned The Bachelor, and I don't know how much you've paid attention to this story.
I don't really know what... You have to give me some context. I guess they have The Bachelor episodes, and then they kind of like have an all-star version where they take bachelors and bachelorettes that people liked on the shows, and they put them all together in like a tropical paradise, and they let them all drink like crazy and fuck each other.
Yeah, you've got it. Like, okay. what were you missing here? Like, this is the exact show. Like, that's it. Like... You people were monsters on your episodes of The Bachelor and Bachelorette. Let's put you in paradise, get you drunk, and let you just
and then everybody fuck goes, like crazy. Oh my God, that's Olivia with Tristan. I can't believe those two are hooking up because Tristan loved Elizabeth. And
yeah. These people, like the chick that we're supposed to feel sorry for now, Corrine Olympios, I guess is her name. I don't know what she was on, Bachelor, Bachelorette, but she's on this Bachelor, and she's the focus of this. She's the one that was assaulted, apparently.
Why are you dismissing that?
Oh, I'm totally dismissing Why? It. Fuck her.
Have you seen it?
No. I've heard enough about it, and I know the people that are involved. Fuck them. So anyway.
Well, what does Chris say about this, the host?
I don't know. Is Chris the host of Bachelor in Paradise?
I don't know. I don't know enough
about it. Anyway, so this chick released a statement saying about a week after the production's been halted, and they booted this guy, and so she's come out now and is like, oh my God, I am a victim, and have spent the last week trying to make sense of what happened on June 4th. Although I have little memory of that night, something bad obviously took place, which I understand is why production on the show has now been suspended, and a producer on the show has filed a complaint against the production. DeMario Jackson is the black guy that was hooking up with this chick. And there are people that believe there's a little bit of a race element here going after the black guy hooking up with a white chick. That's why I mentioned that he's black. He says...
Well, in his defense, how many black chicks are there?
Well, yeah. True. I don't think
that's... Got to hook up with somebody.
Well, yeah. And I don't think anyone would have a problem. It's just, you know, the way we are. When you have something like that in your pocket, you might as well use that card and be like, oh... Everybody fucking hooks up on the show. Now the black guy hooks up with a white chick, and all of a sudden, you know, it must be because I'm black. But so anyway, he says, my character has been defamed. It's unfortunate that my character and family name has been assassinated this past week with false claims, malicious allegations. I will be taking swift legal action until my name is cleared. The show continued filming for a couple days after this alleged incident happened. Before it was halted, the cast was eventually sent home. As a woman, this is my worst nightmare. It has now become my reality. As I pursue the details and facts surrounding that night and the immediate days after, I have retained a group of professionals to ensure that what happened on June 4th comes to light and I can continue my life, including hiring an attorney to obtain justice and seeking therapy to begin dealing with the physical and emotional trauma.
Didn't it happen in a
from
pool?
That evening? Yeah.
So are you telling me that two of these people from the show peel off and get in a pool during the night and a camera crew doesn't follow them?
Yeah.
Come on.
Well,
this is all on film. Let's look at the film. Let's review the film. What happened?
Well, they're all peeled off. Like the whole cast. It's like, okay, so-and-so's with so-and-so tonight and they're off in a hot tub. And then
it's like Paradise Hotel. Do you guys remember Paradise Hotel?
I do.
That show fucking kicked ass.
Yeah.
I was so addicted to that show.
Yeah.
What was that, like 2001 or something?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, I can picture all the contestants.
If you
I don't remember
them up,
their name.
I don't remember.
Fuck, that was a great show. They made up the rules as they went. Like the show didn't know where it was
Paradise.
Going.
Wasn't that the announcer guy with the big booming voice?
Absolutely.
And what would they do? Would they just like fight and fuck? Was that the whole?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they found out like, holy shit, we've got this big audience. People are riveted by this. It's like live, you know?
Yeah.
And they kept adding people. You could vote people in and out and they'd add new contestants, but they sort of just made up the rules. Like it was a big question. What is the end game?
Yeah.
Because during the show, all they're doing is like voting for who they should hook who they should bunk with. You know, they peel off into couples every week.
I remember. Why do I remember some like blonde haired white guy like Nick or something that was a menace running around?
That's a different season. That's is not it them. Maybe that's not them.
The original Paradise. Anyway, going back to the this bachelor while E looks for that. The idea of the show is simple. Get drunk and fuck. Yeah, but
what's bullshit? I mean, you exclaim that she's full of shit right off the bat. What?
First off, I have a problem when a girl's like, first off, I would never behave like that because I have a boyfriend. And it's like, okay, well, what are you doing on The Bachelor, moron? You have a boyfriend and that's your excuse for
there to get some sun?
Why you wouldn't be a slut on a fucking dating reality show? Shut up. The idea of the show is to get shit-faced, party your balls off, do dumb shit, and we're going to film it and laugh at you guys. That's it. That's what you signed up for. And so when you listen to accounts, it sounds like one girl on there who was friends with this girl as a producer. She's a producer on the show, and she starts thinking back to the night and going, that just wasn't that cool. And so she goes up the ladder and goes, oh, my God, I feel like that wasn't right. There maybe was an assault. And executives hear that, and they go, oh, fuck, shut it down. We want to look like we're handling this the proper way. And so then it hits the media. There's maybe an assault. What? Who was assaulted? What? There was a rape? What? And so the story starts going. Well, this guy is going, dude, this chick wasn't even that drunk. Like, she was a whore. Yeah, she was a whore. It was filmed. And her friend talked to her afterwards and went, dude, you looked like a total fucking slut. You have to be careful. You were hooking up with different guys. You were running around. And so apparently this guy was in a hot tub and she came up to him and said, get your clothes off. And so he takes his clothes. He's like, all right, whatever. And then she straddles his face, pulls her pants down. He starts eating her pussy in the hot tub.
Seemed to be an invitation.
And a camera guy's right here filming it like a fucking porno. And so this guy is going, no, release the tapes. His buddies are going, release the tapes. She was tipsy.
That is bullshit.
She wasn't passed out. She was a fucking whore.
His character has absolutely been assassinated.
Yeah. Now, are all those guys lying? I can't say, but judging by what this is, what I'm inclined to go, yeah, you got shit-faced and you hooked up with three guys and now you fucking regret
Buyer's
it.
Buyer's remorse.
Buyer's remorse. And these guys are absolutely on, you know, his buddy and I think another guy. Like, dude, she was all over him. She started all of this. Next thing you know, she tells DeMario to take off his clothes. He couldn't have sex with her because he'd gone limp from drinking. Corinne came right above him, puts her pussy right in his face, and he starts going down on her. There's a cameraman right there. It was like a porn scene. Then one of the producers came over and said, cut, and told DeMario to put his clothes on. The whole thing, this whole thing about Corinne being limp and sliding underwater is bullshit. She was not blackout drunk. When
this
she
another
met,
contestant saying this?
Yeah. When she, when Corinne was with DeMario, she was tipsy. She'd been drinking, but it wasn't until later that night that she got really drunk. Everyone was drinking and having fun. From that point, she fooled around with three different guys, Derek, Nick, Alex. They all happen to be white. DeMario's
Derek, Nick,
black.
Derek, Nick, and Alex?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
But DeMario's the one that's been fingered. Why? Because he's black. I'm just saying. The next day, everything was fine. No one said anything. Then the following day, one of the top guys on the show told DeMario that a third-party person said she was offended by DeMario and Corinne's sexual actions in the pool and that she was going to sue the company.
Oh, man.
Funny that that point she fooled around with three different let's see here. The girl is Corinne's best friend. Her best friend came up to her, basically told her she was showing off her pussy in public and letting him go down on her was going to make her look bad and that fooling around with so many other guys was going to hurt her image. All of a sudden, the tune changed. So that's why I look at this and I go, oh, fuck you, man. You know? And so, oh, my God, this is the worst nightmare ever for a girl and I'm living it now and we just need to get to the bottom of, you know... I don't know. Maybe the story changes and I'm wrong. If so, I'll fully apologize. Yeah. But I'm inclined to go, no, you're on a whore show being a whore. And so you're embarrassed about it.
Somebody's lying.
Sorry. Sorry. And then what else do we have here? Did you hear about the runner? Alaska?
Yeah, man. Taken down to Chinatown by a bear.
So I don't ever want to hear you guys talk again about, oh, you're going to run a marathon. Do a leg jog down the street. Fuck you. This is why I don't like this, dude. This guy, He's a Big E wannabe, 16-year-old kid.
Is he a pro dot runner?
I don't know if he's a pro dot runner, but he's a runner. And so he's running in Alaska, and he's no longer with us, so he's never running again. And if he wasn't a pro dot runner, he's never going to be a pro dot runner.
Died doing what he loves.
Sure.
Running from a bear.
Yeah. He was participating in the Bird Ridge Trail Race in Anchorage. Hear good things about that race. As he descended the trail, the bear started chasing him. Oh, imagine that. You realize, boy, that's a black bear on my heels, and you better hope you're a pro dot runner, pro period runner. It eventually reached him and mauled him. A park ranger shot the bear in the face, but it ran away, leaving the rangers. They're still looking for this bear.
Are you pissed if you get killed by a black bear? It's like grizzly, okay. You know, grizzly's superhuman.
All right.
Really? Strength of eight men. Yeah, you polar. Oh, polar, fucking huge yeah. and ferocious. A black. I feel like you could take a black.
Really? I don't know, man. I feel like I
no,
like,
you can't take
I
a black
like where
bear.
You're going with this. I think the only argument you
I
have.
I just don't like that a black bear, it's tiny.
Is it because he's black or is it?
It's way smaller. It's just, it's miniature compared to these others that I just described.
Would you feel more embarrassed if you were taken out by a polar cub or a grizzly cub? Or a black bear.
Yeah, the cub.
Cub.
Yeah.
Sounds more pussyish, right? So at least it was a grown black bear.
True.
I mean, I don't know how big they are. I you know, you seem to have knowledge about
this,
but...
we understand Petals, the bipedal bear, was a black bear, I believe, in Appalachia. Yeah. He stood about 6 feet. I'm not discounting the power of the black bear. I'm just saying, if you got to be taken down by a bear, I'd love to be ripped up by a grizzly as opposed to a black.
You'd probably be faster, but... I don't think there's any shame in losing a bare knuckle to a black bear.
I
kind
of do.
Really?
There's a little bit of shame. Like, you should have got away. Like, attacked, yes. You know, arm swatted off, yes.
Are you kidding me?
Dude, I think you're way off course here. What are you going to do? Run up a tree? Like, there's nowhere you can go that he can't immediately go with you.
That's a big bear.
Yeah, he is.
How big do they get, E? How many pounds? Give me some weight. Give me some tonnage.
It's probably like 700, 800 pounds.
Like they can stand on their hind legs up to 7'5" and weigh 700 pounds.
And there's some shocking stat like you hear like, oh, he can run 48 miles an hour. Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay. Oh, great. He can jump. He can scale walls with ease.
I feel like you could outsmart him, though.
I mean, maybe if you double poke the eyes.
What do we got, E?
240 pounds.
Okay.
Oh.
So he's got 40 pounds on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, we could make this happen. Does anyone have a black bear?
I would love to see it.
We could use just for a day.
240 max? So the biggest of black bears is the one that took this guy down?
Not the biggest, the average.
Say, how big can a black bear get if they're eating a lot?
Because you see them in Tennessee, you're driving and the little, you know, bear runs across. It's just,
yeah.
It's like a juvenile.
I know, but dude, you hear the same things about like monkeys. And they can like rip your dick and balls off in an instant.
Hear that about ants. Ants are supposedly like 80 times the strength of a man.
Oh.
Were they the size of us, they'd be like, you know.
Well, they're not. They don't have the strength of 80 men, dude, an ant.
The equivalent. If you grew them our size, they'd be the. You know what I'm saying.
I will verify that because over the weekend.
You've seen some of the crumbs these guys carry.
Dude. There was a bee that was fucking with me a little bit. I was outside, and in one good swift whap, I killed this bee.
Wow!
And he fell to the ground, and he was dead. And then I came back out there like 2 hours later, and there's an ant, and he's just like,
just your standard ant,
dude. Little fucking black ant, 1/10 the size of this bee, and he's dragging him across the cement, and he was working like a dog too.
Ambitious,
yeah. I mean, it was not easy. Like you see him with a chip or a leaf, and it's like, yeah, get out of here. He was just, and then he'd go over to this side and push, and then come to this side and pull, and. But he was doing it.
Shows what a little can do can accomplish.
Yes.
According to this, the biggest black bear ever killed is an 880-pound 10-year-old male bear.
Well, don't fight that one.
Yeah, we're going to assume that's the one that killed my man in Alaska? No, we're not.
No. So they shot him in the face, and he got away. So the teen was running.
This is an animal that can be shot in the face and run away.
And run away.
That I'm suggesting you should be able to take.
Yeah. A 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Possibly pro-period runner.
I'll revisit that.
The runner was on his way down from the turnaround point for the juniors race halfway up the mountain. The young man didn't do anything wrong. He was just in the wrong place, said the park ranger, Tom Crockett. You can't predict which bear is going to be predatory. This is not the first time a bear mauling has occurred in the areas. There was one, Susan Knutson. These chicks do not do well fighting a bear.
Knutson with a K?
Yeah, Knutson with a K back in 2014. Troopers got a call for help. So she's running, and she's calling the troopers because one of these...
See, that's what we're dealing with. She's on the phone.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's a black bear following me.
Well, she was... she
barely out of breath.
Barely. So right. she was walking, doing one of these, and you have to know immediately. We're just like... And then you see a couple cubs, and it's like, shit, I didn't want to see them. Nope.
I didn't mean it, Mama Bear.
Could have taken them, but I know this is not good. There's probably a mom somewhere behind, and there was, and Miss Knutson with a K found that woman, or found that out firsthand. So she's jogging alone, and she encounters these bears. She suffered puncture wounds to the neck.
Damn, man. You slashed me in the neck.
Dude, imagine, you've seen bears'
hands.
Oh,
I have.
You know their nails get really long.
Like, that's one of my favorite things about the Native American garb is when they take the bear claws and use it as decoration.
I
love that.
Good donuts, too. I don't know if you're familiar with the bear claws, but damn it, are those good. Different kind of bear claw, though. But those long nails, imagine that just poking into your neck.
Supple.
She was not carrying any bear repellent, which I don't know what that is, but... Yeah, so this poor kid, died. And this is just a prime reason. There's no reason to glorify this kid's death. This is just when you look for reasons, like, why doesn't Mike go for a light jog outside? Stay in shape a little bit. It's like, nah.
You consider the evidence, and you have a damn good argument.
It's
why not?
It's overwhelming. It's the reason you puss out and going in the ocean and avoiding sharks.
I'm just glad you're eating clean now.
Yeah, trying to, sort of.
Keeping that up?
Doing my best.
Been back to McDonald's since, or no?
Once. Subway once.
What got you there? What was it?
Breakfast.
You missed the sausage McMuffin.
No, bag. I didn't. But I didn't have anything that was grabbing me in the house. So I need to go back to the store. Realize I was going to have to go back so fast.
You can always burn some toast and have that.
Yeah. Anyway, we've gone long. Can we save
the rest
email
for tomorrow?
Yeah. Just do that. All right, everybody. Well, have a good day. Have a good rest of the day.
Good day. We said good day.
And we'll do it again tomorrow. We'll see you all then.
You've been listening to the Detroit Cast with your hosts, Mike and Jay. From all of us at Radio for One Studios, thank you for listening. And as always, thank you, Detroit.